We're driving away, way out of the box. And thank you for tuning in today. KKCR, Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you. We got some special guests in the studio today. But you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, and welcome to Out of the Box.
Views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
That's right.
There we go. Golden. And not only is that right, but that's the those are the dulcet tones of Mr. Dave Giroux, who is going to be our special guest for this afternoon. It's your reward for all that support. Thank
Aloha.
You so much. I also want to say that this, that Out of the Box is made possible in part by listeners like you in partnership with Kalaheo Chiropractic, Qingyang Village, and we have a wave rider. Awesome. All right. And go. You want to hit me go? You want to punch it? There we go.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Qingyang Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Qingyang, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
What was that?
What?
Did you say something?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Like a hammer.
Hey, Dove, is there anything else that you want to play? Dove, you can't see him because this
mahalo?
Is radio. But
this one?
Yeah, let's have a food mahalo.
KKCR would love to thank all of the following restaurants and businesses that fed all of our volunteers during this fall membership drive. Mahalo to and Papayas in Kapa'a, Pauhana Pizza in Kilauea, Coconut Cup in Kapa'a, Barracuda in Hanalei, The Greenery Cafe in Lihue, North Shore Grinds in Princeville, Ya Kadus Bagels, Hale Girl Island Suites, Hideaways Pizza Pub in Princeville, Mediterranean Gourmet in Haena, CJ's Steak and Seafood in Princeville, Oasis on the Beach in Kapa'a in Waipuli, Kenny Kaona, Harvest Market and Kayla Coberly in Hanalei. Thanks again for feeding all of us during the fun drive.
So yeah, we're live.
Hey, I would like to thank everybody who contributed during the pledge drive. Help keep the station going for another 6 months, and also all the volunteers and everybody who were worked very hard for the last 2 weeks to get the pledges in and processed and talk people into calling in and everything. It was great.
Lassoing the funds and
yes.
New members. We have 92 new members. That's the golden number of new members.
That's awesome. We didn't quite meet our goal, but I think we can get by with what we got.
And well,
we're
going
to have to. But,
we definitely
you know.
Can, and I think that we can continue working psychically to exceed our goal.
There you go.
Yeah. So, and it's only been possible because of people like Kathleen and Beverly and Amalia and Adam and Dylan and Jimmy and Dan and Gray, who was an angel. An angel.
Thank a real angel?
Evidently. I mean, it says angel right on there. It's in quotes. Does that count?
Does he have wings? Do angels have wings? I don't know. Some of them do.
Some of them do. Well, Dave, you're an angel, I think.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, you know, over the years, how many years have you been a supporting member of KKCR?
Since the station started, even before I moved to Kauai.
Really?
I was giving money to it. Yeah, because I was living in Colorado at the time, Boulder, and we had a community radio station there. And when I decided to move to Kauai, I looked up to see if they had a station, and they said, well, we're just about to get one on the air here.
Almost.
So I sent my money in and, you know, made the transition over and got on the radio soon thereafter.
That's awesome.
But I had, let's see, a couple music shows for a few years back in
Escucha.
Escuche.
Yeah. Calamai.
Listen.
Calamai.
And I did that. It was a Latin music show for 4 or 5 years, and then did the Out of the Box. I was just filling in for Michael Vandeveer when he left us.
How many years did you fill in for Saint Vandeveer?
8 years, I think, something like that.
It's amazing.
So that was fun. But then I just stopped at the beginning of this year. And
Why was that?
I was...
Was it me? Was it me, Dave?
It was.
I thought so.
But I wasn't going to tell you that. But
I've been trying to bathe more frequently since then.
I can tell.
Yeah.
It was a big commitment of time and energy, and I just didn't have that anymore right now. But I'm hoping to get back to it.
Because why?
I have other interests.
Golf? Sailing?
Actually, I had to give up golf there for softball. I'm playing softball.
Oh, all right. Well, we're going to come back and talk about softball in a minute because everybody wants to catch up with Dave Giroux. But I was just given this paper by Dove, our wonderful volunteer coordinator here. And it says that there was a traffic accident in Pakala on Kamuali'i Highway near Mile Marker 21 involving a large rig about 45, 50 minutes ago.
Bummer.
Yeah, it is. KPD is still on the scene with the fire department. The police department has closed the eastbound lane and will be alternating traffic back and forth for at least the next hour and a half. So it's like four. So you should reasonably expect massive slowdowns there on the south side.
You know,
until six.
There's no good time to have an accident.
No.
But this is a particularly bad time. Rush hour, a lot of people on the road. So... instead of hitting the highway there, I go in, stop somewhere, watch the Mets game for a little bit.
That's going on. We can, for those of you stuck in traffic, we will be periodically jumping into the other room and finding out what's the score.
Yeah. The Mets are playing the Dodgers, the game five of that series, and it's tied at the bottom of five.
Wow.
So, big game.
All right. So, but just to close with this traffic update, I hope that everybody there is okay. A big rig, that's a big deal. So that's going to be jammed up for at least until 6. They say 90 minutes, but I bet it would be longer. So for you folks who are tuned in right now listening to KKCR, we will give you updates as they come in here to us. And sit tight and enjoy the radio and, you know, look outside. It's a beautiful place where we are. So, we've just been through our drive. We raised over $48,000, which is really amazing. We have almost 100 new members. And I know that the commodore, the chief, poobah, consultant, king, tyrant, Pete of Moco Loco, he wanted a new member. That was the only thing he wanted for Christmas, was a new member. And we have 92 new members, so there you go, Commodore.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. So, Dano, I want to make sure that your mic is live.
Yes, sir.
Are you?
It's not.
How about now?
Yep, I can hear myself loud and clear.
There we go. Dano, this is Dave. Dave, Dano.
Hey, Dano, how you doing?
Great. How about yourself?
Great. Thanks for coming in and volunteering, helping the show.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, what made you decide to... Wow, you know, I want to help with the community affairs shows.
Well, I mean, I've heard Out of the Box for years. I've heard yourself and Jimmy, and had a serious injury, a back injury. Broke my back about a year ago, so
bummer.
I had a lot of downtime and decided to come and volunteer my time, and it's been a blast.
But there's a lot of things you could be doing. You could be, like, looking at clouds. You could be, creating your own illustrated graphic novel. You could be... you could be counting the follicles on your wrist. Why did you choose to come to KKCR.
Well, I used to do a lot of writing for the Garden Island paper, doing the letters to the editor, and I've always been fascinated with radio. And since we only have one local community access type radio station on the island, I was like,
who's that?
KKCR.
Oh yeah, right. Okay, yeah, that's right.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're good.
They're unbelievable.
So thanks. Dan's been coming up to the show for, I don't know, the last couple months or so, on and off, sometimes on. He's got a graveyard shift, so sometimes he's a little too tired at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But I want to thank you for coming up and you know, being part of the community affairs team. And I hope that more people who are listening to the show who think that we could do a better job come up to the station and help us do that better job. Okay, that was a weird thing right there.
We don't bite.
No, we don't. So... there's a lot going on in the world, but I think the most important thing, Dave, is your at-bat average. Tell us about your batting average, because you just came back from Las Vegas, is that right?
Actually, St. George, Utah. Yeah, I played in a softball tournament, the largest softball tournament in the country.
Right, and earlier before the show, I asked Dave, how big are the softballs in this tournament? But
it's not the balls that are the biggest in the world. It's the
bats.
Number of teams in the tournament.
Okay.
So it was I don't know, 300-400 teams in there, something like
that.
That's
amazing.
Like that.
That's totally
yeah,
amazing.
For middle of the desert there.
And where?
Pretty area too. St. George, Utah. It's kind of southwest Utah, right by the Arizona border. And real pretty area, dry desert.
Desert.
But there's a thriving community there.
Of baseball fanatics, evidently.
Mostly Mormons.
Okay.
Retired
but
Mormons.
But evidently athletic supporters.
Yeah, they have taken upon themselves to have a big softball tournament every year. So,
with normal size softballs.
Yes, normal. Yeah. So, so that was a lot of fun. And, let's see, I'm working too. Still doing environmental work.
So how many times are you retired now?
Well, I had a practice run here a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But Kauai's an expensive place to live, you know.
It is.
You got to have a big pile of money if you want to retire here. So,
you do.
I wasn't quite there yet. So I had to go back to work and had to clean up more of the environment.
Well, you know, as a communist, I love what you do.
In what respect there?
I just love that you're a communist.
Okay, I don't really think of myself as a communist.
I knew you once to be a communist.
Communists get a bad rap.
They
know?
Do.
They think
do.
Of totalitarian states as communists,
but those are totalitarian states.
Communism is more like a community. I mean, the actual definition. The
first three letters, anyway.
More than that, even I think maybe
four?
Five or six of them.
Five.
So there's a. Yeah, so then.
While you write this down, I can't spell very well.
Yeah, it's like a community-driven political.
Wow.
But it has gotten a bad rap.
Seven letters.
Yeah. So when you think of Stalinist Russia.
Oh,
or,
do I have to?
Well, we could just use an example. You don't have to think about it very long.
Okay.
But then also. Mao Zedong and China.
Oh,
you know,
man.
These are not communist countries. They're totalitarian, despots.
And if they're communist parties, man, those aren't parties I want to go to. Not with Uncle Joe and Mao more than ever. It's just like, wow.
Yeah. But I'm all for community institutions like community radio, community government. And so... So that's where I'm coming from more than...
Well as an anarchist, which that's how I consider myself to be, and anarchists also get a very bad rap.
Yeah, because people consider it to be chaos with no rules whatsoever. Everybody does everything when they want to.
Right.
But that's not really the reality.
No, that's actually the polar opposite. Anarchy is natural. Like coyotes and pigeons and blackberry bushes... They're all anarchists. They don't follow any laws, and they get along wonderfully.
Yeah.
Harmony.
But I think people don't really have a vision of what an anarchist state would be or anarchist community would be. So they need to be educated. Do you believe? Do you think that?
I do, but like so many anarchists are like these white intellectuals, or, you know, or like Caucasian eggheads or something. Like sometimes they're punk rockers, or sometimes they're libertarian anarchists, or but really they just sit around and argue a lot, and that's not very anarchistic to me. That's not, because I think of the KISS part of anarchism.
Do you have a vision of what an anarchist society would be like?
I mean, yeah, sure.
I mean, would there be laws? Would there be a government? Would there be any order whatsoever, or would it be completely chaotic? Everybody doing whatever they want.
The libertarian anarchists that I've run across believe in a theory called volunteerism, where you just choose not to associate with folks that do not agree with your society.
I agree with you.
So there are some solid points that the anarchists make that I've run across. Eventually, it seems that you're going to have some sort of order, and they might just choose to not call it police, but call it, well, peace officers. That's what they were originally called. So it's not total chaos, but the theory, just like communism.
You mean it's not anarchy?
Exactly. It's a libertarian form. It's a rule by, you know, volunteerism. You choose to engage, to do business with folks that you are on the same level with, and you build a community, and there can be order within that structure. But
sounds like it's self-regulating.
Yeah. So it seems like human nature is what gets in the way a lot. So the idea of communism is great, but it tends to go down the Stalinistic Mao Zedong route, as history's shown us.
Well, and, you know, let's be fair. Let's talk about a little bit about democracy, because, you know, again, people, it's a great idea. I would love to experience it.
Human nature doesn't seem to allow it.
You know, I think it was Mahatma Gandhi who said, well, what do you think about democracy in America? And he said, well, I think it sounds like a great idea. I'd like to see how that works out for them. Maybe they should try it.
I don't believe that what we have, the form of government in this country right now, in its reality, is democracy.
No, it's a corporate plutocracy.
Yeah, right.
Which, you know, is just a big mouth word way of saying, like, hyper wealthy people do what they want.
Yeah. Yeah, I think democracy sounds like a good idea. Let's try it.
Aloha, caller. You are on the air. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Interesting discussion on democracy. Hey, by the way, I just wanted to let you guys know that Maui, Ellie Cochran, is going to be introducing something tomorrow at their council, you know, about increasing the minimum wage to $15 an hour, something similar to ours here in Kauai.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I got that. I talked to somebody from Maui this morning, and they're intending to do that. Now, I don't know if she's going to be bringing it to the county council for the Hawaii State Association of Counties, a bill, you know, proposal for a bill there, or is it she's going to be bringing up a resolution tomorrow? She wasn't too clear, but they're going to be doing something similar to us, what we did here on Kauai with increasing the minimum wage. And we want our resolution here because of the change to a three-tier system, but we won 4-3. But she's going to try to see if she can do it there as well. And eventually in Honolulu, they're going to be starting it as well. I'm in contact with some guys, so I don't know if they're going to bring it to their county right away, but they want to get the word out there. They know to change the law right away would be kind of hard. You guys are talking about income inequality and socialism and anarchism, you know, and capitalism. Well, this is just putting something in practice, you know.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. We're talking about anarchism and anarchistic philosophy and capitalism and socialism. Mm-hmm. All this ism stuff, it just gets in the way. It's like ism is theory, and practice is where I'm a lot more excited. I mean,
anyway, you know, it's kind of interesting because in the debate, first question that Anderson Cooper asked Bernie Sanders, you know, what is socialism? Almost, you're a socialist. What do you mean? So almost like red baiting him.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, no.
Socialism is
no,
just,
not
just
not almost. That it was.
Okay, fine. But we got the point that he wanted to smear, and I wanted to go a little bit more about that smear, what socialism is. But you know, the newspapers the next day claimed that Clinton was a clear winner. That's not necessarily true. A lot of average guys who are watching it were giving Bernie, you know, the heads up.
Yeah, it seems like most of the polls, of the polls taken gave Bernie the win on that. But it just goes to show who, you know, they pre-selected Clinton, so they make it sound like it.
Hey, it's good to hear your voice again. But, the thing is that, CNN is owned by Time Warner, and Time Warner just happens to be one of the main contributors, I think number 5 on Clinton's top 20 list.
Oh, really?
Did you watch the debates, caller?
Yeah, I watched the debate. I was at a Bernie Sanders get-together over in one of these sports bars they got in.
What impressed you the most about, well, first off, they weren't debates. Let's be clear about that, and I'm not going to debate you about that. It was a forum. It was a presentation of ideas. But what struck you as the most intriguing thing about all that?
Well, the thing that Bernie is not afraid to take it head on, what he meant by socialism and and income inequality.
Do you want to paraphrase what he described?
What
socialism?
He believed in, yeah, and I think a lot of people appreciated that because he didn't shy away. He has practice. Putting this stuff out and trying to put it into play where he's from. He's been doing this stuff for a long time.
I think he kind of equated it to a social democratic government like Norway or Sweden or something like that.
Yeah. But the social democrats believe that within a capitalist society, they can fight for equality. It's not
some things should be left to the free market, but things that are necessary for life. Yeah. Should be either provided managed so that there's no nobody stealing money out of that.
Actually, Jim.
Yeah, but that's what he's talking about. That's the form of socialism that he's talking about. For myself, I disagree with social democracy. I think we working people should, since we're the majority, we should be running the show. But that's going to take a while before that happens. In the meantime, we have to fight for the things that we need. So to sit down like a bunch of eggheads and talk about anarchism, socialism,
no
communism, this doesn't make a lot of sense for people. And, if you talk to my kids and their friends today and you mention a word like communism or socialism, they don't give a they don't give a rip, They're not
a shrip. They don't give a shrip.
What they're concerned about is, are people's needs going to be taken care of?
Well, that's what really matters most.
Did you feel that the debates were skewed in any way? Jim Webb, who was a part of the debate, real blue dog Democrat.
Yeah, blue
he
dog
came
dog
out and said that he felt the debates were manipulated or skewed to put Bernie Sanders and Hillary in the spotlight. Did you notice that as well, or is that just a...
Well, I noticed that as well, too. The two main guys who were out there was Hillary and... Hillary and Bernie, but Hillary has her positions developed after Bernie had put his out for a long time.
I noticed Bernie even defended her by making a joke about the email scandal.
Yeah. Well, the guy is pretty good. He doesn't attack people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He doesn't come out and say that she should be tarred and feathered or anything like that. He just deals with the issues, and that's pretty good. It just shows what kind of guy that he is. He's not afraid of telling the truth, and that's what he did. I didn't like his presentation on guns, gun control. That's where he took to kind of a smashing, but in terms of income inequality and his foreign policy ideas, I think they're better than Clinton's. And I think that whole thing about her supporting the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan really have to be gone into because she's a neocon and her foreign policy really hasn't changed.
It was interesting what Sanders said. They asked him, since he was a conscientious objector during Vietnam War, how could he be the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, and he says, I'm like, if necessary, I am prepared to take this country to war.
He had to say that.
I mean, that's pandering there,
unfortunately. Yes, it is. Pandering to the militarists. Oh,
right.
Good. So we can still have war? Yes. Okay, all right.
I didn't like that either. There's some stuff that I don't like about him.
I mean, they pushed him into saying that, though, but he...
Yeah, sure. They pushed him to talk about socialism and, like, red baiting, Jonathan agrees with me that they kind of put that out there. So
I agree with you.
He had to pander to them, but he did fairly well. And then, Clinton was saying, well, this is capitalism and this is America. This is not Denmark. Well, the thing is that he was trying to bring out examples, and they're legitimate examples because they're capitalist societies. So you can use those societies, because we live in a capitalist society, monopoly capitalist, as an example. So
crony capitalism, or
casino capitalism.
You know, yesterday, or wild. You ever heard this wild capitalism?
No.
I came out of
like the Wild West.
I went to Costilus yesterday, and I was coming back to my car, and I noticed that somebody put a piece of paper underneath my windshield. So I picked it up, and I read it, and because I guess they seen my bumper sticker for Bernie, and they told me, "You're right. You know, I won't be fooled again. You know, I voted for, you know, I supported Clinton and Obama next time, but no way, Bernie rules." You know, and this is just a regular guy.
What was your main issue? Your main, what did you disagree with him as far as guns go?
Well, the thing is that as far as gun goes and stuff, you know, we really got to do some real thorough background checks on all kinds of people, and I think it should be strictly for hunting.
I mean, we have very strict gun control laws in Hawaii.
Yeah,
I mean,
know, they're pretty strict and stuff, but this people seems to get guns on their hands. You know, like not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, there were some young kids with a rifle. You know, that was found at Kauai High School.
And it was found to be a stolen rifle.
Yeah,
so,
stolen.
You really can't dictate criminal
behavior.
Because
I got friends that are hunters, you know, and they're pretty good about their weapons. They conceal it pretty well, and they just take it out to go hunting, you know. And it's not about a thing for them that they're going to be protecting their families.
One point that Bernie made, though, was he comes from a rural state. You know, the people in his state don't want the kind of gun control that they're pushing in Washington, and he was voting with his constituents.
Yes,
and I think that's defensible. I mean, well, they're going through every one of these persons' voting record over the years, but they're not voting for themselves. They're voting for their constituents.
Right.
And so it's
right.
not really fair to point out all these things. But I'm comes from Vermont. They want guns. It's a rural area. They hunt.
Yeah.
They protect themselves.
See, now,
and they don't want all their guns taken away. So he voted for that. Whether we believe
he
it or not.
That he's from a rural area where people depend upon hunting and stuff. But you know that community, Umpqua?
Umpqua,
Was
where
that a
shooting
rural
was?
Community as well? Yeah, and so, you know.
Oh, in Oregon.
They're pretty upset with even Obama coming there and dealing with that question. So, you know, these kind of people take it really seriously.
Well, there's interesting, you know, politics is an interesting thing. And when you represent people, if they all want to do something that you don't actually think is the right idea, you have a responsibility to represent them.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, speaking about that, you know, I want to talk a little bit about our politicians here in Kauai. You know, what's her name now? Dee Morikawa.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Tulsi Gabbard
Dee
and how
Morikawa
she.
Morikawa. Her response to the resolution being won here at the county level, she says, "Well, a lot of resolutions come to us. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to take them up or that they're important." But what she failed to understand, this came from below. This came from the people. And when something like this happens at the county level, she should take it seriously because the people are trying to speak up.
Well, those are also her constituents. So it's
a way of the
electorate sending a message to their representatives so they can represent them.
Well, there's a contradiction in this thing as well, because you see, Dee Morikawa is a member of my union, Hawaii Government Employees Association, and the HGA came out very strongly in support of sick leave for all workers, maternity leave, the right to organize, and $15 an hour, you know, and they supported the resolution at our county level. So here comes Dee Morikawa, who got support from working class people to get into office, and she comes out with this kind of a statement. And when she came to the hearing, on talking about the minimum wage, she didn't even give a position, you know. No, what's that all about? She's supposed to be standing with her constituents, with the working class, you know. So once these guys get into office, they start changing pretty quickly, and she happens to be one of them. So I'm pretty upset with the way she took up on this issue, you know. And people are going to be taking a look at her record as well. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. So anyway, I just wanted to call up and let you guys know that even on Maui, they're going to be taking up this issue about income inequality, and that's why a lot of people like myself are supporting Bernie, because he's dealing with this.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks. It's good
think
to hear
you. We have another call.
Again, yeah. Okay. Bye bye.
Next caller, you're on the air.
Next caller, are you there, caller?
Hello? Hello.
All right, caller, are you ready? Please turn down your radio.
Yeah.
I know it's exciting. You are live on the air.
Yeah, for many years I've watched the gun control situation, supposedly. I mean, I don't know how many bills have been passed. And then I started looking at, well, not me, but I have a friend of mine that does that.
With extra time.
Looking into who these politicians are. I'm going back 30, 40 years ago, okay? And I don't remember all their names, but I was quite surprised. This friend of mine came to me about 30 years ago. He says, look at these guys. These are all so-called, not all, some of them were so-called liberal politicians from different states. And they were ones that signed these bills and promoted the, allowed these bills to pass with these high-caliber rifles, these destructive things.
Assault weapons, assault rifles?
Assault weapons, exactly.
Those are the best kind.
If you want to kill a lot of people.
I mean, that's what they're designed for.
That's what they're for.
And,
that's what they're for.
You know, it's like everybody has to have a television.
Actually, 50s, I don't.
In the 50s, they propagandized television. You'd go to a store, they'd have the TV there. You'd go there, here and there. And it got every. It seems like the goddamn gun industry is trying to prime the American public to tell you everybody needs a gun in their house.
I've got six. I'm just kidding. I don't have any guns. No guns. I have no guns.
I respect your ownership, and I respect the right for people to own a gun. But in this article, there's an article in Atlantic this last month. It's about how they got the guns, how they get guns illegally, and what time. And I mean, it is a arsenal of. It shows all the guns that have been used in the last 43 shootings in the mainland.
Wow.
And the key
and
word
it looks
is
like
illegally.
A freaking,
they were
catalog for an armor outfit.
I mean, they were obtained illegally. So, I mean, drugs are illegal.
Yeah. The legal people are not going to go out that own a gun legally. They're not going to go out and harm people.
The percentage of legal gun owners committing crimes is around.
It's the. 20%. Well, anyway, it's in Atlantic Magazine. It's in this last issue. There's a very good article. Get on it and read it. I think every police officer should read that. It's
There's a lot of people in the country that want to eliminate all guns. I mean,
I don't own a gun. I don't feel like I need a gun. But I certainly don't think that that should be a law because
there's
too many respectable and careful people who have guns. It's the idiots out there that lose it, you know, and then it's the rightful gun owner is the one that suffers. I'm going to get off the line and listen.
Yeah. Okay.
Good show.
Thanks for calling. Well, there's certainly no consensus in the country on eliminating all guns. I mean, a lot of people believe it. You know, and maybe just have some for hunting, but there's certainly no consensus. There's no majority of people in this country that that say eliminate all guns.
I'll bet you that every single bullet in the world wishes there were no more guns.
Maybe so, but there's it would be highly unpopular if they tried to do that now. And you try to take guns away from people, they're going to resist, and it's going to be a war. It really, truly will be a civil war on our hands if we do that now.
And there'll be a lot of guns.
But that's not to say that there aren't some measures that could be taken to make it safer to own guns or to get them legally and to shut down all other opportunities for getting them illegally. But when the United States is the largest arms manufacturer and the largest supplier of weapons worldwide, who are we to say that you can't have your guns? I mean, there's no moral authority there. I mean, we are supplying weapons to every country and every terrorist group in the world, and yet we're trying to take them away from our law-abiding citizens. I was hoping that, at some point in our history, the guns would be irrelevant, but they're not. The police are getting more military hardware. The government, all government agencies are arming themselves to the teeth, and yet we want to take them away from the people. I don't think that's going
to
fly.
It's great to have you back on the mic, Dave. Caller, we've got caller standing by. Is there any closing comments you'd like to add?
I think he left.
All right, well, then we're going to go to the next caller. Thanks for holding, and thanks to that last caller who called in. He's actually got a really great conversation going here. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear. Welcome to Out of the Box. Thanks for spending your time with us on KKCR, the station
I'll comment on the guns in a bit, but traffic update on the west side here.
All right,
okay.
Thank you.
The west side?
Yeah, this is by Pacalas.
Yeah, I'm about a half a mile past the old sugar mill in Kamakani.
Okay.
On the west side of the sugar mill.
Okay.
I've been stopped for about 15 minutes. As far back as I can see, out of sight, the traffic is backed up behind me. And as far ahead as I can see, of course, it's all traffic, except when people give up and turn around and drive back in the direction of Kalahale. There's been a number of that happening.
Okay, well, we got an email at just before 4 p.m. saying that there had been an accident
with
a big rear. Okay.
I heard that. I just want to say that traffic is backed up at least to the sugar mill, if not farther. I only can see back as far as the sugar mill.
So that's like 2 miles, yeah.
So you're not moving at all.
Well, from Pioneer Seed to here is about three miles. So
yeah, we just got an update, and it's closed in both directions, and until they're moving the rig right now, and it's closed in both directions, and we'll keep you posted.
Well, I'm sure glad I've got AC.
Yep.
Good thing.
Yeah, we just got an email in. They're closed in both directions, and we'll let you know as soon as the road reopens.
Oh, I'm sure I'll find out.
You'll right. be the first one to know.
Thank you, caller.
They're moving the rig out of the way right now. They're towing it out of the way.
All right. Thank you, Dove.
The one thing that hasn't been mentioned in a lot of this gun control issue is that not too long ago, within the last couple of years, the U.S. Supreme Court acknowledged that the right to keep and bear arms applies to individuals.
Not armies?
The right to keep and bear arms applies to individuals.
Oh, as opposed to the state.
The organized militias.
As opposed to it simply being something about forming a militia.
Right, okay.
A ruling by the Roberts Court.
Okay.
I think Scalia was the predominant.
He's my favorite one. I love that guy.
Yeah, I think there'll be a special place.
Yes.
Somewhere for him.
Yes, very, very special place.
Fires burn for eternity. I think there'll be a special place for him.
I love him the most because he so clearly needs a lot of love, that guy.
I do remember that being a liberal talking point.
What was that leading me to? The fact that his individual right to keep and bear arms... Dang, I lost my train of thought.
Well, does that mean any weapon whatsoever? Bazookas and
M60
surface-to-air missiles?
M60. I want an M60.
No.
Abrams.
Okay, so I got the correlation. But Scalia also, and I haven't, it's been years since I read the opinion, but in that opinion, Scalia also, I believe it was Scalia, also made mention of the fact that the Second Amendment consists of two parts.
Uh-huh.
A well-regulated militia. Well-regulated. So he left.
Oh, well-regulated, right.
They brought up the individual right to bear and keep arms, but he left open the issue of well-regulated.
Interesting.
So, of course there's room there. Of course. You can have background checks.
You could have all kinds of rules and regulations. In fact, it would be well regulated.
But you can't make laws whose base reason for existence is to ultimately deprive everybody of their firearms. You know, that those kinds of laws would be unconstitutional. But you can make laws that for example, background checks, et cetera, et cetera. I think the most significant thing that has happened, just happened, was that this gun shop was found liable for selling a gun to a person who was buying it on behalf of another person.
Yeah, I mean, I did that when I was like 18 or 19 years old at the Quickie Mart, you know, like, hey, man, could you get me a six-pack of beer?
Yeah, so anyway, the gun was purchased by this guy who gave it to the guy who wanted it. And the guy who ended up with the gun shot and killed two cops. So now the store has been found liable for the deaths of those policemen.
Well, that just sounds like a terrible situation. It's just like
it's the liability situation
that is going to really, really end up tightening things up.
Yeah.
To the point where we might have some sane legislation concerning these weapons that fall into the hands of criminals. I hope so.
Well,
anyway, I'll let you guys go.
All right, thank you, caller. Yeah.
I'll just be sitting here listening.
All right, thanks, and try and keep cool in the while you're waiting.
Yes, thanks.
All right, aloha.
We got another caller.
Do you have a quick comment?
Jonathan.
Oh, there we go.
So do you agree with the store being responsible for what people do with those guns? They're selling them legally, they're regulated by the government, they sell them to somebody and they are used in a crime. Is that the store's liability? I mean, do you agree with that?
I am going to think about that.
Okay.
Because I don't have an answer. Because
that came up in the debate, and that's why Bernie was not for some of the gun legislation that he was being criticized for voting against, because he didn't feel the stores were particularly liable in that case.
I think it's a great question. I'm going to ponder on that. And in the meantime,
The gun manufacturers is another thing. They make guns. And they're legal. Are they responsible for what you do with them when you buy them?
All right, I'm going to keep thinking about it. But right now, I want to hear from this caller right here. Aloha, caller. You are on the air.
Hey, how you doing? I was recently horrified to find out that the IRS is heavily arming themselves, training their people, and just huge stockpiles of ammunition and weapons.
Is this so that in case a postal worker goes into the IRS and he goes postal, that they can go IRS on him?
No idea. You'd think that some other form of the government. I can see, I can understand like ATF, or...
Yeah, they should have cigarettes and firearms.
Well, the theory is that they're buying...
And alcohol, they all go well together. But, the IRS, why would some other branch of the government not handle anything that had to deal with that?
Let me ask you this. What branch of the government should not have guns?
Well, most branches.
Well, just pick one.
Military.
There you go. There you go. No, the Pentagon should not have guns. That would be like, right? That'd be awesome.
It's not only been the IRS, but the Park Service and multiple other government agencies. It's up to 2 billion bullets have been purchased at this point. Some of the rounds have been hard to get rounds. So they're kind of flooding the market. A lot of gun retailers, I know this personally, are having a hard time getting certain ammunitions into their shop. So it's not just the IRS.
Do you have a question or a comment about...
I'm not legally allowed to own a gun in Hawaii because I'm a medical marijuana patient.
Yeah, I don't get that.
So yeah, but if you had...
I can use heroin in guns, but I can't use medical marijuana in guns.
Yeah, if you had an OxyCotton prescription, you could have guns. More dangerous than somebody who's, using medical marijuana.
If you had an OxyCotton prescription, you could have your own syndicated talk radio show, and that's more dangerous than guns. I wish somebody would give Rush Limbaugh
a
gun.
I have no desire to own one.
Are you saying you have a prescription?
I find out that I can't.
Well, when you go in to register your firearm at the police station, it has a sign that says if you are a marijuana user, even if you're a legal user for medical purposes, you are not allowed to purchase or buy ammunition or guns. And I do find that troubling because they can you can be hopped up on all these psychotropic meds, like the last 8 out of the 10 shooters were. They were on, SSRIs, and we need to be...
Serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Thank you. Dave is our resident acronymologist.
Thanks, guys.
Now, I wonder, is that a state law, all states with medical marijuana programs?
I don't know about that, but this is Hawaii state.
I don't understand why. I know that is the case. I just don't understand why they're doing it. I think they're just punishing people who...
They're just punishing potheads.
Yes.
Well, in all honesty, I don't understand why someone receiving a type of medication should have their constitutional rights eroded. Like, how does that add up?
Yeah. I mean, if you were taking, OxyContin, for example, that's
like Rush
far
Limbaugh.
More far more dangerous.
Right.
Then you can buy firearms. Alcohol. You could drink alcohol and get firearms,
but not while you're driving. Not while you're driving.
Far more dangerous than people smoking marijuana.
Huh? Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. We got another caller?
Yes, we do.
All right. Aloha, caller. You are on the air.
How's it? This is Kavika.
Good, good. Aloha, Kavika. How are you?
I just got a comment. You know that there's enough gun laws already. The problem is the consequences for using the gun are not strict enough.
So is another way of saying that would be there's plenty of laws that are just not working?
No, the laws, there's more than enough laws because you don't want to have two laws because then you can end up socialist or like Nazi Germany did by taking away all the hunters and farmers' guns, and then you become a communist country where you have no rights. What you got to do is if you commit a crime with a gun, you should get the death penalty, especially if it's not in self-defense.
I'm surprised more politicians aren't arguing that because criminals are obviously not going to abide by laws, as you've seen with the war on drugs. So I agree. I mean,
wait, what?
To get a gun, you do have to go through a background checkup. Okay. There are certain loopholes, you know, in other states, but Hawaii, it's very stringent. So I agree that the gun laws in place are fairly effective. It's the consequences, as you said. That's a very good point, and I'm surprised more politicians don't argue for that.
People that obtain illegal guns are usually doing something illegal to get the gun.
Well, by definition, right?
Yeah. So if they're either a crackhead, major drug dealer, whatever, they're going to get a gun somehow. But when they commit the crime, they have to face the death penalty because they erase people's lives using the instrument. A gun is just like a car.
It is just like a car, but unlike a car, you don't need to have a gun driving test.
That is true, too.
You don't have a gun driving license.
I believe you do, actually. You
don't
have to go through gun safety.
Where?
I think you
need
a hunter safety course to have a gun permit.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, for a pistol?
And do you have to have insurance? Do you have to get a safety check every year?
You have to re-register it every year.
You know, they do a background check.
Does it have seat belts? Does it have airbags? I mean, you know, there were all kinds of problems that we discovered about cars that we didn't know at first. Like, oh, you drive too fast, you don't have a seat belt, boom, you go through the windshield. So, you know, they've created lots of laws around cars, and still millions of people die in cars every day.
People die in car accidents and electricity and in the water than gunshots. So if they outlaw guns, then you got to outlaw cars, then you got to outlaw electricity, then you got to outlaw water.
Well, that's only four laws, so that's...
Yeah.
That'd be too many laws. Too much laws.
But the point is, if you commit the crime, you should have to pay the consequences. That's all there is to it.
Mm. All right. Well, thank you, Carl. I appreciate
that. All right,
Bob. I'm not in favor of the death penalty. That might be a little extreme.
Well, you know, once, Dave, you and I got into a debate on the show about the death penalty. And I was trying to make this argument that I think that only people who believe in the death penalty should have the death penalty be applicable to them. And you're like, you said, what did you say?
I don't remember. I don't think anybody should have the death penalty applied.
That's what you said.
Probably what I said.
That's what
you
said. And you know what?
But, you know, like, if you go to
you
a
you know what happened
trial,
in that moment?
No.
You changed my mind.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. After what you said, and what I said, I didn't agree with me. I agreed with you.
Well, you can't believe everything you think and everything you say. But, you know, for example, if you go to if you're a juror, if you're selected as a juror for a trial that may involve a serious crime,
I was.
Then they ask you whether or not you believe in the death penalty. And you cannot sit on a murder trial if you say that you don't believe in the death penalty.
Why is that? I mean, I believe in the death penalty. I believe it exists.
That's the way it's been
interpreted. I don't think it's right.
Because they don't want people taking away the ability of the state to conduct
cold-blooded, premeditated mass murder.
Right, yeah. So all it takes is one person on the jury to say, I don't believe in death penalty, I'm not going to go for that, and they lost the trial.
Yeah.
So they screen everybody out.
Yeah, that's
nuts. Have you ever been on a jury?
No, I haven't, and I just remembered that I have somewhere. My room has been such a mess for like the whole pledge drive. I haven't cleaned my room, actually even longer. And so in there on my desk somewhere buried under paper is a jury selection letter, which I haven't responded to
yet. Well,
you're
supposed to send those back in 10 days.
I know. So, Justin Caller, I'm really sorry that I didn't. I'm going to go find it
tonight.
I think
you just admitted to a crime or something.
It might be a Class D felony. I don't know. But as soon as I find that paperwork, I'm going to send it in. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't. It got lost.
Okay. Do we have a call?
We do.
We got. Oh, no, they hung up.
Okay. Well, I personally do not want to sit on a jury, and I've gotten out of it a couple of times because I don't trust the system, because you know you're only provided with limited amount of information to make your decision. I mean, only what the jurors or only what the lawyers bring up. You know, there's a lot of information the judge says, oh, you can't talk about that in this trial. And so you're given a limited amount of information. You're supposed to make a decision that, you know, affects somebody's entire life. And I refuse to be a part of that. And so every time I get called in there and I get on the panel, I get out of it.
I've done the same. Okay. Once I just insinuated that I could basically judge if someone's guilty by looking at them. And they got rid of me pretty quick.
Yeah. They brought up a hypothetical. Is nobody on the phone right now?
No.
They gave me a hypothetical.
I never answer hypotheticals.
There, and they said, you know, say, for example, you know, a 17-year-old boy has sex with his 16-year-old girlfriend, you know, which could be statutory rape. You know, he could go...
Not in Hawaii.
He could go to jail for... Well, in some states, maybe.
Yeah.
Then. He could go to jail for the rest of life, be on the sexual offenders list for the rest of his life, you know, and... you know, so by convicting them, you're subjecting them to that.
You give that lad a mark.
And I said, I would not want to convict somebody if that were the case, you know. And they said, okay, you can go.
Oh, well, there you go. It's like a get out of jury.
And I think they do that. You know, anybody who wants to get out here, you know, answer this question or something like that, then we'll see you later.
But the problem is, that if I'm following you correctly, that the result of all that is only the people who believe in the death penalty and believe that 17-year-olds should not have nookie with 16-year-olds, those are the only people on the jury.
Yeah.
Well, those aren't my peers.
Well, jury nullifications are really effective.
Yeah, that was another thing. I would think if I got called, and I did just get a notice here recently that if I get called onto the jury, I'm going to ask them, what about jury nullification? You know, is that in effect here? And they'll say, you can go now.
Yeah, you can't do that if you're on the jury because then you legally don't exist.
Yeah, they'll probably just tell the whole panel, you can all go now because the term has been broached here, and we are not going to allow that in the trial. So.
Well, if you know what the trial is going to be about and you feel it's a... The whole jury nullification is basically deciding not to convict based on morality.
Well, based on the law.
So my understanding
is... You don't agree
is,
with the law that they're charged with, not whether or not he did it.
Exactly.
He did do it. It's a stupid law. I don't think anybody should... Like spitting on the sidewalk in Singapore. I think they cane you. I think they cane you for that. So
if you don't agree with the law and you let somebody go as a result of that, that would be a jury nullification.
Yeah,
no.
Correct.
It's an indictment on the law itself, not on the, you know, guilt of the individual.
Yeah. Yes, they did do it. That's a stupid law. Let's not waste our time with this anymore. So what's the score, Dave? When I checked last, it was 3-5.
It's,
or 3-2, excuse me.
3-2. Now the Mets are up. It was the bottom of 7 when I just went and looked. So... let's see. I've got a couple of other notes on the debate, if we're still on that topic.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I have a comment on the debate.
Okay. One thing I like, there was a lot of talk about the disparity of wealth and income in this country, and I'm glad to see that that is finally a talking point. You didn't hear that
much in America?
In America.
In America, okay. Not this country.
Yeah, we're voting for the president of America, not of the world, but I think they see it differently.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to see that is finally, you know, allowed to be spoken about in private and polite conversation here, where it used to be taboo subject, you know. You know, when they were all asked what's the biggest threat to the U.S.
Nobody said Hillary Clinton.
I would have said that maybe.
See, that's why they didn't let you on the debate.
Yeah. Webb, the ex-Marine guy. He's pretty hawkish guy there. I'm surprised that
he's on the Senate Armed Service. He was a Marine.
He fought
in Vietnam.
Yeah. He thought China was the biggest threat to the United States. And
you know, I was talking to my housemate about that. And finish your statement, and I'll tell you what my housemate said.
Well, I was just surprised by that because I don't consider China to be a threat to the an existential threat to the United States.
Do you know what my housemate said?
They make crappy products or what?
No. He said everybody knows that China is the largest existential strategic threat to America. Everybody knows that. I'm like, really? Everybody? Dave Giroux didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
You're somebody.
I'm uninformed on this issue, I guess.
Did you know that the China is considered to be the U.S.'s largest global geostrategic threat?
We're looking at having a pretty big conflict with Russia. In fact, we are at the time with Russia bombing the CIA.
This is no longer a proxy war. It's no longer a proxy war going on in Syria.
All right. Well, hey, you know what? I'm going to ask you to put a pin in that because we're coming to the top of the hour, and I don't want to talk about Syria for two minutes.
I've got some serious.
I want to talk about. I want to give
serious
this,
stuff about Syria.
I want to give this serious consideration.
Bernie Sanders said global warming, global climate change was.
I thought that was a good answer.
Yeah, I forget what did Hillary say.
What did she say was the biggest threat? I think she said Bernie Sanders is the biggest threat.
Biggest threat to her.
To her.
I forget what her.
You know, it's funny. I forget a lot of what Hillary Clinton said.
I mean, I usually don't pay attention to this, but you know, this is a pretty important election, I think, coming up. I don't like any of them.
Really?
I mean, Bernie Sanders is probably the closest to my viewpoint, but I don't think that he would get enough support across the board to win the election. I mean, and I don't think Hillary could either, because I've seen polls where most of the Democrat or most of the Republican candidates would beat Hillary, one on one.
I think actually Hillary could take any of those candidates, any of the myriad bozos in the GOP clown car.
I think
she could take them one on one. She could take any one of them.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
I'm not talking electorally. I just think she could take them out.
Just beat them up.
Cracks.
Yeah, she's kind of scary like that.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of respect for her.
She's just not on my side.
So.
I thought that the tone and the conversation was a lot different than the Republican debates. But it's unusual how it doesn't really matter who gets in the White House. They do the same thing.
Yeah.
But when you listen to them on the campaign trail, they sound 180 degrees different.
Well, the most intriguing thing that I heard at the Democratic Forum was not any of the things that the candidates said, but it was the advertising, the large corporate supporters who bankroll the whole hoo-ha. And that was F-35.com. which is a multi-theater, strategic, striking, bomber, retriever. Some warplane, F-35. Oh. I think that's a military weapon system that the
Pentagon... F-35, that's the trillion-dollar bomber or fighter jet that doesn't work.
That the Pentagon doesn't want.
That kills all the pilots that try it.
Yeah, it's a piece of flying junk.
And the... 30-year-old Russian jets could beat it in a dogfight.
We're going to get to that. I know you're stoked to talk about Syria, but F-35. So that was from Lockheed Martin, and then also they had a couple of large-scale financial institutions like the New York Stock Exchange,
which is a private corporation.
Is a private corporation that pretends that its ticker tape is the economy, but. What the bulk of their services are financial. It's all financial.
Yeah.
So that's neither a good product or a service for someone. It's just serving capital.
Right.
So that's capitalism, where the capital of capital is capital.
That Crazy. Is the casino capital.
So I just thought that was pretty amazing. And everybody just pretended like, oh, yeah, we didn't just watch ads for fighter bomber jet. Fighter pilot, thing.
I didn't see that. I always turn off the commercials.
They don't affect me. But hopefully, when we play underwriters here at the station, you do listen close because these are the people just like you who help support the station. So check this out. This is, we want to thank, do I play this already? There we go. Okay, so we're going to thank Hawaii Life, the Tahiti Nui, and Compassionate Care, because it's people just like them who, in partnership with you, the 48,000 of you who help make the station thrive. So mahalo to you.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
So, mahalo nui loa to Hawaii Life, to Tahiti Nui, and to Compassionate Care. Mahalo for supporting community radio. So, what else? Oh, I have to do this, too. This is exciting. This is for all you folks over in the gathering place, yeah?
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
And then it's always nice to hear from Don Jewell.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
That's right.
I love that every time. And, you know, we're always trying to do the best we can and up our game here at KKCR, so help us do that.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
What?
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. It's true. It is true. We do listen to you. You are the community in community radio. And when we bring topics onto this show, we don't provide a balance. You do. You know, if Dave is like going off about how much he thinks Putin is like such a rock star, and you don't think that that's a very balanced approach to the analysis of the geopolitical situation, you call in. If you're not hearing what you think is the other side of the story, don't wag your finger and try and complain that somebody else should be presenting the view that only you feel is missing. Be that person. Give us a call, 826-7771 or 826-7774, and add your voice into the conversation. So, here we are, the second hour. Do you guys want to hear a Wayrider or some of the fantastic people who supported us? Or
do we still have to run those there? Or are the pledge drives over, I thought?
We don't have to. We can.
It's up to you. It's your board now.
All right. I don't know if you should have said that, Dave.
Long Hair Productions presents Grammy winner, the Charlie Musselwhite Band, Friday, November 27th, 7:30 p.m. Longhairproductions.com, 337-9234.
Garden Island Properties in Kapa'a specializes in real estate sales and property management. Locally owned for over 23 years.
Coughing. Do they even know that the mics are still
juice
live?
Bar, serving organic local food. Located
so?
In Kapa'a.
Is anybody listening
hotel
to
is proud to support Kauai Community
Radio.
Oh,
we're not taking I wasn't
cat
serious
project
when I
celebrates
said that.
National Feral Cat Day.
Oh, it's calling
Saturday,
to donate.
October 17th.
All right, well, that's different.
Kapui Grove
all right, hold on.
Center.
Hold on. Here
Band
we go. And
projects
and oh, the mics were already on.
Oops.
We have a person who just called right now, and they want to make a donation to the station, and that is freaking awesome. So I'm going to ask you, caller, call right back. And call 826-7774.
826-7774.
They should be able to hear me. I mean, you know, okay. I'm on the radio, right?
They're on the phone.
Yeah.
Okay, we're
I'm
back.
Having such a good time.
We're back.
Are we back?
We are.
So, all right. We've got until 6 o'clock. It's like 54 minutes. Let's talk about...
Wait, one other thing.
Oh.
Another thing that somebody brought up as an existential threat to the United States was the Iran nuclear deal.
Oh.
So,
the
you're
Iran
just going to be
long.
Deal.
Just,
I don't know what you think about the Iran nuclear deal.
Mm,
there are a lot of people. Mm, it's a huge
I'm
deal.
I'm still thinking on the other question.
In
you
the
asked
Republican
me earlier.
Debate, it's like the biggest topic that they can think of, you know, because.
Except for Trump. Because Trump is the biggest thing that Trump can think of.
Well, they don't ask him about Trump. They ask him about the Iran nuclear deal. I don't know what Trump thinks about the Iran nuclear deal.
What do you think Trump thinks about Trump?
Now, he probably does think about Trump quite a bit, I would imagine.
I would. If I were him, I'd be like,
so do you consider the Iran nuclear deal an existential threat to the United States or peace in the world?
No, I think it's garbage. I think that people should stop fighting with each other. I think that trade should be allowed to happen. I think that the people of Iran have red blood and breathe oxygen and have babies and go to the supermarket and buy food and listen to music. And, you know, they want to have nice lives with their families just like everybody else in the world.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else in the world. And I don't understand how you persecute an entire group of people by, like, denying them market access to basic commodities and food stuff. That doesn't put any pressure on their government anyway. Most people, like Americans, are not responsible for their governments. Most people don't have any control over what their governments do or don't do. So I don't understand why people are constantly held hostage like that. So,
well, but the nuclear deal that was signed
By
governments was the most intrusive inspection routine of any country ever in the history of the planet. And they didn't have to agree to any of it because they were already tied to the language of the
Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Try and say that three times
fast. They signed it. The U.S. signed it. And
Israel hasn't signed it.
They didn't have to agree to anything that was not in that deal. But they went way overboard just to get the sanctions relieved.
Because the sanctions are brutalizing the population. There's like, what, 85, 90 million people, 100 million people who live in Iran?
And we remember the Green Revolution that the U.S. didn't intervene in. We saw how many Iranians wanted democracy in the country. I believe that was 3-4 years back. There was protests and riots, and they wanted to overthrow the regime that they had in place at that time.
A lot of people in America want to overthrow the regime that they have in that place. Most people feel that way about their government.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope blaming an entire country based on the government's.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, that's very true.
So, well, I'm glad they signed that deal anyway, hopefully just to
get over with. I just hope the sanctions can be lifted and they can sell pistachios and almonds.
And people can stop threatening to bomb Iran on a regular basis.
It's really, imagine
if you lived in a place, you know, that your neighbor was threatening to bomb you every day, every week. You know, I mean, how do you go about your daily life when, you know, the threat of bombs raining down on you is there all the time? So you're holding the entire country hostage.
Yeah.
And so now hopefully
it's psychotic.
This will.
So maybe psychotic America will like lighten up about a country in the middle of Eurasia that hasn't invaded or started a war in the last 300 years.
Right.
So we got a caller standing by. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Thank you for saving us from ourselves.
Hello.
Aloha, caller.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
You know, what about the Shah of Iran?
Latest I heard about him is that he's dead and
still dead.
And that his condition shows no sign of improvement.
Well, you know, they had an interesting bit on Democracy Now! About this State Department, the head of Department of State. Years and years ago, during the Shah of Iran,
with the Dulles brothers,
those guys.
Oh my
God! They, you know, besides wreaking havoc in Guatemala. And,
well, make a list. You know, I don't think we have enough paper for the.
Well, they, you know, when Iran had voted for their Democratic leader,
Mossadegh in '58.
Yeah, they talked to Shah into going back, and then everybody's got to remember then the Iraq-Iran affair, where we supplied Saddam Hussein with military weapons, including chemical weapons and stuff like that.
Which he used on his own people as well as Iranians. But I got to ask you, caller, I was listening carefully to what you said, and you said that in the Iraq-Iran war, that we supplied Saddam with...
Not we, the United States government.
Oh, okay, so not you or me.
No.
Okay.
But then, you know, the Pakistani and the Indians, they've got nuclear arsenals pointing at each other, you know, across this thin red line of a border.
They do.
You know, and you're right about Israel. I mean, they're totally loaded to the teeth.
They are.
With U.S., not only their own nuclear weapons, but U.S. supplied nuclear weapons. And you're right,
I am.
By the way, your guest, it's nice to have your guest, Dave, on the show again.
It is.
I think everybody misses you a lot.
It's
you know?
True. That is true.
It's fun when you and Jonathan Jay are both doing it together and your new co-host, Dan. Way to go, Dan.
Dano Flattery.
Yeah. At any rate, you know, I mean, war is the worst thing, you know. I don't agree with the death penalty, like someone of the previous callers says, because you're inevitably going to get innocent people that didn't have a good lawyer.
Not if you bat 1,000%.
They didn't get a proper defense. The innocent people get put to death all the time, and I don't think the gun law. I don't anybody who's intent on murdering. They don't think, well, I'll be put to death. I don't think capital punishment has stopped anybody from murdering.
It's not an effective deterrent.
Yeah, you know, I mean, most people that go on rampage murders would rather die anyway. They don't want to spend a lifetime in the penitentiary. I mean, you know, but if there's one reason to end the death penalty, it's because of probably the incredible amount of people that have been put to death that were totally innocent.
Well, caller, the death penalty could be perfect if it was perfectly executed. You like that one?
Yeah, that's true. If it was, it might have its it has. Its
if they play. Got I mean, if they got the right guy, and I say guy, and I mean guy, because I mean we're
or
talking.
Girl,
but
or
yeah, but
girl.
But like 99 times out of 100, it's a guy. I mean, do the math, right? So if they got the right guy every time, not most of the time, not some of the time, not most every time, not like even almost always.
You mean like the drones, like people and all the innocent victims of war, innocent civilians? It goes back till the beginning of time. Let's just go back to the Vietnam War area where
hundreds of thousands of innocent people died from
our intrusion into Vietnam. I mean, who's responsible for their deaths? I mean, capital punishment, if you're talking about, is it U.S.
All right, Danny. Danny, can you hear me, Danny? You can?
I'll just let you guys take it from here.
Well, no, I want to give you a chance to end on an up note.
I'd just like to live in a world without war and torture.
Amen.
You know, that would be super cool. I mean, the little hard times with the economy, the price of gas and stuff. I can deal with little things like that, you know, but it'd be sure nice if people could stop fighting and killing one another.
Amen.
Amen.
Anyway, have a nice day, and it's nice to hear you on the air, Mr. Giroux.
Thank you.
So I was trying to set up a joke with the batting average, like if you batted 1,000% on your convictions, that then maybe at least you wouldn't be killing any innocent people. But, you know, it's hard to bat 1,000%. Like the highest batting average I've ever heard of was 714.
Well, it's not percent, though. It's out of 1,000.
Okay.
714 of 1,000.
But still,
it's parts per 1,000.
Okay, but to bat 714, that's amazing.
It'd be pretty good in the major leagues.
But you did that in the softball championship, Dave.
Well, I wasn't the only one. I mean, other people hit like that.
That's amazing. Dave Giroux had a batting average of 714. That's amazing. And what was your record for the whole season?
700.
Yeah, that's amazing. How many people are in the 700 club?
There's a few.
Besides
that's
Pat
probably,
Robertson.
Probably top 5% batters.
That's pretty impressive. So you want to change the pace?
Yeah, let's change the subject.
Let's have a musical moment of meditation and just kind of clear our minds, and we'll talk about something peaceful and calm and serene like
like a hammer.
Like a hammer. Oh, boy.
It was a little bit cold that night.
so much for sharing your afternoon here with us at KKCR, the station that loves you. And truly we do. It's only because of you that we continue on. I mean, 17, 18 years. It's pretty amazing.
And mahalo to everybody who pledged during the drive. That was great.
Hey, did you hear this during the drive? Uh-oh.
What, the dead air? No, I didn't hear much of that.
That's because I wasn't running the board the whole time. Most of the people at the station here are quite competent. And when they press the button...
Traffic is open in both directions.
Yay!
Bacala's,
so yay!
There. All right, everybody. If you're there, you already know. If you need to head east or west on the south side, now you can go. Drive safe. Drive slow. And thank you for your support, because that's what makes it happen.
And the Mets are up... with two outs to go in the bottom of nine.
What's the score?
3-2 still. Dodgers got two more chances to get ahead, or they're going home.
Oh, it's the bottom of the ninth?
Bottom of the ninth, yeah.
Oh, then one out already?
One out already, yeah.
Ooh. All right, check this out. This was a minor accomplishment for the station. Listen.
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. Please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you. Your support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
Wow, that's sweet.
Doesn't she, I am
Amy,
so impressed.
Doesn't she rock?
From our jungle shack.
That's right. She is such a professional.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, wow. So
how did that? Who made that happen?
Jonathan Jay. You were busy a couple. You tracked her down. I know what you did. You spent hours. And credit goes to you, my brother. Good job.
I'll take a tiny piece of that pie. But hey, you know what?
You take a large slice because...
Well, did you see the size of the cake I took?
Yeah.
It was good. That was really good. But so many people, Commodore, so many people made it all happen. I mean, I talked to her station relations personnel on the phone, and we went back and forth, and she's like, write something. And then I got an email. They sent it out at 5:30 in the morning, but I was sleeping. I slept until 10:30. I checked my email. I got it at 10:45.
You know what, gang out there right now?
I'm like, oh, my God.
One last chance. Pick up the phone, 826-7771. Call us right now. We could use some dough. We're a little short. But right now, just to give you an idea what this station is doing, we are happening, and you know it. You listen to us, and you're hearing it.
And you know what? I have a special request. Uh-oh. Sometimes people call into the station, and they have a special request.
Okay.
I have a special request for you, the listener. Commodore, he does an amazing show at night. Loco Moco is from 10 to midnight.
That's when y'all are asleep.
Yeah, so most of you miss it, which is a shame, because it's amazing. But there's only a few gentle souls awake at night. And so when the Commodore was making his pitch to get a new member, someone who'd never supported KKCR before in their whole life, first time opportunity, he said, all I want is a new member.
That's it. You are so over it.
And
you've
and
been
so,
on the air too long.
And so my request, no, here, listen.
All right, okay.
Here's my request to the listener right now who has never been a supporter of KKCR. Please, for Commodore, call the station right now, 826-7771. There's only one person in the entire world that needs to do this, and it's you. So please give us a call. It doesn't matter if it's $1, $10, or $1 million. If you've never supported KKCR before, please call right now and become a new member.
Man, that would make my day.
826-7771 or 826-7774. Beautiful operators are standing by. We've got the most amazing, talented people in the station. And that's what I was trying to tell earlier is a story. I sent the audio file into the station at 10:45, and they had it on the air before 11. They had it on the air before 11. So it's amazing. Is that a new... We just got a call. Do we have somebody?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to put you on the air. Aloha, caller. Thanks so much for calling in to KKCR, the station that loves you.
Yeah, hello?
Hello. Where are you calling from, caller?
Kilauea.
Kilauea. And have you ever been a member of KKCR before?
Yeah.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
So you're not a new member?
No, ongoing.
But you want to support?
Next.
But you want to support anyway?
I want to support. I was calling to be on the radio show.
And so you are. Go ahead, caller. What is on your heart?
I just want to follow up with some of your other callers. When it comes down to a candidate, there's a couple issues that unless they address, I feel nothing will ever change. And one of those is the Fed, and you don't hear them talk much about the Fed and the corrupt banking system.
Yeah, they don't want to talk about that. There's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to fix. It's working perfect.
Yeah.
For them.
For them, yeah.
That and the military-industrial complex.
Also working great. I mean, you know, in the land of the free and the home of the brave, the people who swear they believe in capitalism, who would believe that there's a $1 trillion centrally planned economy?
Uh-huh.
That's pure Sovietism.
And Ron Paul in the last election, he was the only one that was going to actually, he would have actually done something. Dennis Kucinich would have been someone who would have done something. But I don't see anybody now really addressing those issues and would really stand up for that. You know, stop the wars, bring the troops home, and audit the Fed. I don't see anybody.
We don't need to audit the Fed. They know exactly where all our money is.
Mm-hmm. We need to eliminate the Fed.
We just need to shut them down.
Eliminate. Well, the first
privatize
audit, audit them, see the fraud.
We need to publicize the Fed, yeah?
The other thing is Bernie didn't, when he addressed Edward Snowden, I didn't like his answer.
What did he say?
Well, he said that he would still penalize him. He would, he would still penalize him. To me, I'd bring him home. I would give him a Congressional Medal of Honor.
And a parade, a ticker tape parade. That's
exactly. And I would pardon anything.
I would.
Yep.
So I would vote for you. Would you vote for me?
If you would, yeah.
Okay.
That's how I have to look at it. What would I do in that situation unless I wouldn't compromise on any of these issues?
I'm with you, caller.
And that's the only type of candidate that will ever do anything and change anything, is someone that won't compromise.
Well, thank you from Kilauea, caller from Kilauea. Thank you very much for bringing that to the ears of the island of Kauai.
If you want a good assessment, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, he's really good at assessing the economy and the military-industrial complex.
Do you have an email website for him? Or?
Yeah, you can just look him up, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts.
Okay, I got it written down, Paul Craig
Roberts. Yeah, he's pretty good. I like his analysis.
All right, thank you, caller.
One quick one here.
Yes?
If you do want to make a last-ditch pledge, which, of course, it's not last-ditch.
No, we're going to drive on into the future.
I love that part because we are here all the time. Anyway, we had a caller, and unfortunately with the talk show, if you don't mind, if you do wish to make a request, which I know you do, 826-7774, please. Otherwise, if you want to be on the air, 826-7774.
Well, you know what? If they want to call and make their pledge live on the show, I think that's the most important issue.
Give their credit card number.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, just give it over the air, yeah.
Suddenly I don't agree with me, Dave. I agree with you.
You can't believe everything you say.
That's true.
And Dave Giroux in the house is cool.
It is cool. It's like this is like rock star radio.
It's been a while.
So, we got another call calling. Oh, that's for the pledge. Let us know. A new member. We're looking for a new, the Commodore needs a new member.
There's an 800-pound elephant in the room here we need to talk about here.
Uh-oh.
There's something going on in the world that demands our attention.
Is it the recent outburst of violence by the Israeli state against innocent Palestinians?
That is a terrible situation going on.
Are we
going
to talk about that?
We can. There's been a very biased reporting of that in the news.
Hold on. I want to have a moment, and I want to honor the Commodore.
He got his new.
He's finally
new member.
He's getting his new member, right? I mean, how great is that? Thank you so much, radio. Thank you so much, KKCR. You are KKCR.
Ask and you shall receive.
Well, you know that, and that's how it works. So now we have 93 new members. You guys are awesome. I, from the bottom of my heart, from the top of my heart, the left, the front, the right, the side, mahalo. Thank you so much for all that you do. If it wasn't for you, there wouldn't be a you in community radio, and then it wouldn't be the same
maybe
as communism.
We'll come out of the radio.
Do we have a caller online? Okay, so Dave.
Okay.
Dave, talk about your thing.
Okay. Oh, wait. So for those that haven't been paying attention.
Oh, we just got a great donation. Thank you so much to Bill and Margo from Kilauea.
Margo.
Bill.
Yeehaw.
You guys are awesome.
They love that Democracy Now! Pitch.
Isn't that amazing?
They said we rock.
Sweet.
Oh, I'm going to get the other phone here.
We'll be playing that for years, and don't erase that file.
You know, the drive is over, and still we're alive, and still we're thriving. And so, hey, you know what? It's not over. We got $110 on the show so far. Oh, my God. Okay, folks, this is the first $110 that I've been so honored to have because I didn't have a show during the drive.
Cool.
So you guys are awesome. Thank you. We got this is blowing up.
Let's go to the phone.
Go to the phone. We got to talk about Syria, Dave.
I know it. It's important.
All right. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Thank you for calling in to the station that loves you.
Good. Okay. Should I speak now?
Yes.
Okay, well, I don't really know you. I'm glad that you guys love me. I don't necessarily know you guys. I'm not going to say I totally love you.
Well, you can learn to love us.
But honestly, I'm listening. I like KKCR. I like the music a lot. But you guys are coming across like new age, far, far, far left against everything, you know, that's all the powers that be.
That might be a good point.
And, come on. There's a little bit of a middle ground, and you guys aren't on it.
Well, you know what? If you look at the mission statement of the station and the programming objectives of this show out of the box, the job that we've created for ourselves here is to bring up news and views and opinions that you haven't heard.
Well, my opinion is different than everybody else's. I think you guys are way, way too far left and anti-everything.
Well, can you give us an example of something where we disagree with you?
You got a country, Israel, all right? I don't even know. You guys are probably right about a lot of facts. But, you know, it just sounds like I went to Israel. You know, those people are pretty much trying to survive. You know, they're surrounded by people that want to kill them and destroy them.
It seems like a mutual feeling. Yeah.
You know, and they're doing what they could do to survive, right? And you guys are like, oh, you know, they're so terrible. And look at what they did to the poor Palestinians.
Well,
poor Palestinians have done a lot, too. I mean, we're all guilty.
I agree with you about that, caller. And this may surprise you as a kind of a far-left, new-age position, but I'm against killing people.
Well, I am, too. But you know what? It's going to go on, whether you have a Democrat, a Republican, a Libertarian, whatever you have. It's going to go on in this world. That's the way this world is. And when you call all the Republican candidates a bunch of clowns.
That's only my personal opinion.
Right. And you guys are really laying your personal opinion on and representing the radio station.
Well, no. No. Here, listen
the
to this.
The views that you
hear
on the
station. Here. Listen, this is important.
Do not represent.
This is really important, caller. I'm glad you brought that up.
During this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
Can you hear that, caller? Did you hear that? No?
No, I don't. I think they only hear the radio when they're on hold.
Oh, and you know what? I didn't have the phone button pushed on that pot, so he couldn't hear that.
Will the caller, you there?
He's gone.
All right, well, caller, you raised a great point. You raised a wonderful point, and I'm happy to hear that. And it's essential that you call in and make that point because that's your job. That is your job to represent your views. And your views are 100% welcome here. You can agree with me when Dave is wrong. And then together, you know, or you can disagree with both of us. It's all good. We can agree to disagree agreeably. I'm not right. Dave's not right. Dano's not right. You're not right. We're all just bringing our piece to the pie. And so if you hear things that you don't agree with, absolutely, please do call right up and your views will be respectfully listened to. Because that's our job as a community radio station.
Free speech radio.
Free speech radio.
Hey, by the way, new member. I got my dream.
You got new member.
I want more now. I'm greedy. Mila. Rose.
I was going to say, well, let's see. Let's
1 year
new...
old is listening.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mila Rose. I know that name.
Well, Bishop, Laura Bishop.
Mila Rose.
Yeah.
Mila Rose.
She wanted to pledge $25.
Wow.
1 year guys. Old. That's the youngest member I've ever had pledged on the show.
That's a new member.
That is a
She's
new.
She's brand new.
Brand new. Yeah.
Is Mila Rose even one yet? I don't think she is.
Just one.
Did she make one?
Just made one.
Congratulations, Mila Rose.
We can do that here.
Let's get her up to the station and get her on the mic. Mila Rose.
The level of this conversation
is
really
I love you, Mila Rose.
Well, what's different from the regular show you guys do?
Ooh.
Hey, we're closing.
Hey, cut his mic there. We don't need that.
No, don't. Free speech radio, Dave. We're closing in on $49,000. If we could make... if we could hit $50,000 by the end of the show, that would be miraculous.
Oh, it would be terrific.
That would be. It would be miraculous. And so all we need is 10 new members, right?
Go.
And the phone is ringing.
Yes.
The phone is ringing. You guys are so great. You guys are so fantastic. And to entertain you while you're calling in to make your pledge.
Please call 826.
This is so great. We.
Yeah, there's another pledge coming in.
All right.
Okay, so we need to get back to the show here now.
All right, thank you so much.
Okay.
Please keep the calls coming. 826-777-4 to make a pledge, and 826-777-1 if you want to join the conversation. Dave,
right.
The floor
okay.
is
so,
yours.
So obviously we have a new situation here going on in Syria. The U.S. has been working on trying to eliminate ISIS for the last year. Has flown 2,500 bombing missions in Iraq. 2,500 bombing missions in Iraq and Syria.
Okay.
With the intention, the stated intention of eliminating Islamic State.
No, that's not true.
No, that's not true.
No, they are there fighting ISIS.
Okay.
They did not say they're there to eliminate ISIS. They're fighting ISIS. And they're doing a great job fighting ISIS.
Well,
and at the rate that they're fighting ISIS... They can keep fighting ISIS forever.
Well, ISIS will take over the world at this rate, you know, with us fighting against them.
I sure hope that.
And so after over a year of fighting ISIS, ISIS is stronger, was stronger than ever, occupied more territory than ever.
Okay.
And so the question is, what have we been doing over there for the last year?
Well, I know what I've been doing, Dave. What have you been doing?
So anyway, President Putin of Russia said that he can no longer tolerate the current state of affairs in the Middle East and that he was going to accept the request of the legitimate government
the elected. Are they elected or what's that?
Elected.
I don't know what
they're. Well, they have elections there. They have elections, but they may not be.
How about that ophthalmologist? Let's have him be the president.
And so anyway, you know, they accepted the offer or the request of the...
We got a request!
To eliminate the terrorists from their country. So
well,
they moved in.
So now just so folks who haven't been following this as closely as you have, Dave,
they're
talking about Bashar Assad, and he's the son of Papa Assad.
Yeah.
And he's been, he's recognized by the UN. And he's like, nobody questions he's not the legitimate. People have debates about whether he's a good guy or not, but he has a problem, Assad has a problem because there's like a crazy freaking civil war going on in this country.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call it a civil war. There's a mercenary army that is trying to take over his country.
There's a number of mercenary groups
that are
fighting with each other and with the Syrian government.
And one of them is the United States, Saudi Arabia,
France,
Israel, France. Some of
the
bombing. UK is bombing them.
The UAE,
Australia,
everybody's
Australia
in it.
It's is like bombing. Hey, come on in, take a couple of pot shots at them.
Hey, like everybody, how's it going? We're come in, do a couple bomb runs, then we're gonna go back.
And that's really the way it is. So anyway,
everybody's doing it, Dave.
So the Russians are doing it now, and
but they're doing
unfortunately,
it,
they're actually hitting they're, targets.
They're
you know?
Doing it a little different.
They are. They're
so what,
actually
so
hitting their intended targets.
What's different about what the Russians are doing?
Well, you know. Before this, we had a proxy war where, you know, the United States hired their or paid for their people to fight in that country.
The moderate extremists.
And the Russians were supporting, you know, their people. And so we were fighting the Russians in reality,
America,
but not with our own troops and not on our territory.
Dave, I don't have any troops.
So that's called a proxy war. It's just like in Ukraine. It's a proxy war because, you know, the Russians are supporting the Russian people in eastern Ukraine, and the U.S. is supporting the illegitimate government in western Ukraine. But no American soldiers are there, and no Russian soldiers are there in the Ukraine. It's a proxy war. Okay,
I
so
see.
We're fighting remotely.
So
but
let you and him fight.
Now,
okay.
Russian soldiers are on the ground in, well, they're in the air in
Syria.
Okay,
there's a difference.
So now it's no longer a proxy war. It's been stepped up to the next level.
And they're getting really arrogant because John McCain has come out on national television saying he wants to arm the Free Syrian Army so they can shoot down Russian warplanes.
Yeah, and we are.
And John McCain knows a thing or two about being shot down.
And he said he wanted to do basically what we did in Afghanistan in the 80s. He said
on
TV.
I'm glad that nobody elected him to conduct foreign policy.
But what's going on, though, Russia has destroyed most of the arms caches, bomb factories, and vehicles of the Islamic State and the Free Syrian Army.
Well,
so they've already, in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks of their bombing campaign, you know, done more damage to the terrorists in Syria than the U.S. has done in
two and a half thousand sorties.
Yeah. And so
we're going to come back to that. Dove has an important thing to
do. Oh, I just want to thank Ashley. Thank you so much for calling up. So appreciate
it. Whoa, $245
your donation, so huge. And then also we want to thank Kaylin Spear Art for their generous donation also.
Thank you so much.
Phones are ringing. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to keep the phones ringing, call 826-7771. Supporting community radio, supporting free speech radio. Just like
Amy.
Amy was saying.
Just like Auntie Amy.
And it's true. You know, there's very few radio stations like this left where you can say anything and play anything and do anything you want on the air. And
free
we take calls.
Radio.
The callers can say anything they'd like. That's try to do that on any other station. Just have them pop you on the air and you can say anything you'd like. This is a
Wait,
this is
aren't,
a
aren't you going to screen
thing.
Me?
Yeah, no screening. I know, crazy. And one of those was a new member, too. So we're at 93 new members.
Well, that's fantastic.
And we're getting closer to our goal. We have 11,000. Well, we'll figure out here real quick.
It's like 12,000. You know, it's like 12,000.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
So now.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And it's 826-7774 to make a pledge of support to the station, and 826-7771 if you want to join the conversation.
Right. So the Russians say to the United States, hey, we are trying to eliminate terrorists from this area here. We would appreciate your assistance and any intelligence information you have on where the targets are that we should
if you have information, share.
And they said, no, we're not going to do that. Mm. So then the United States asked Russia, hey, we are bombing there. We would like your participation in our bombing campaign and your assistance. And they said, well, there's a difference between what we're doing and what you're doing. What we're doing is legal according to international law. We were invited to fight in this country.
By the government.
By the Syrians.
Right.
But the United States was not.
Oh,
and so our bombing campaign in Syria is against international law.
Hold on, Dave. Why does it matter if the U.S. is breaking international law?
Well, it should matter. It should matter. But obviously it doesn't to the people that are operating them. And nobody invited us into Iraq either for that matter. I think that's an important distinction, you know, that the Russians are there in accordance with international law and the Americans are not. So the Russians say, well, we're not going to participate in your campaign because
it's illegal.
But, you know, we won't participate in theirs because we don't agree with their targets.
Well,
because,
it sounds like
because we're blowing up the equipment that we're supplying to those terrorists, you know.
So it's actually a win-win for the U.S. arms manufacturers because they get to have more sorties, more pilot time in the cockpit and in an actual live theater situation, and they get to blow up the material that the U.S. sent, so then they need to send more. So that stimulates the weapons economy. And so I don't see what the problem with that is, Dave.
Buy lots of arms manufacturing stock.
I would say, yeah. We should get some stock in McDonnell Douglas because McDonnell Douglas is sponsoring five candidates for the Democratic Party.
That's right, yeah.
So, you know, I think their stock's going up.
Well, it's a...
It's just capitalism,
it's a big problem,
Dave.
Over there.
It's only... It's just business.
But, you know, I've said on this radio in the past that I agree in large part with President Putin's actions. You know, I don't know everything about him, but what he does, I agree with, you know, in large part. He follows international law. He's completely transparent, not transparent, open about what he's doing and for what reasons. And he's doing it in accordance with international laws. So I think I have a lot of respect for that. And so,
well, Dave,
more so than, you know, the U.S. position in that region.
I have a lot of respect for you, and I happen not to agree with you that Putin is a good guy.
Well, yeah, I didn't say good guy. I say I agree with what he's doing and what he's saying. But I would say anybody who is interested to read his speeches.
Listen to...
Cut me off already, yeah.
I didn't like what you're saying, so I just I hit the wrong button, sorry.
But to read his speeches, read his press releases, listen to what he is saying, and it makes a lot of sense. You know, if you just listen to the U.S. media, you're going to have a skewed perspective on it, and you're not going to like him.
But
if you listen to what he says and look at what he does, then I think you'll have a much different evaluation of that.
All right, well, let's not listen to you talk about what Putin says. Let's listen to what Putin says.
Okay.
So Putin said this. This is a direct quote. We're going to play the speech in live time. It's going to be in Russian, but I will translate over it.
Pretty impressive,
huh? Oh, you speak Russian.
Yeah,
well, real time. Read the caption.
No, Dave, it's radio. No one can tell.
Oh, I see.
Dano is going to provide live, real-time translation.
He said, I've said this before. Another threat that President Obama mentioned was ISIS. Well, who on earth armed them? Who armed the Syrians that are fighting with Assad? Who created the necessary political international climate for this facilitated situation? Who pushed for the delivery of the arms in the area? Do you really not understand who is fighting in Syria? They are mercenaries, mostly. Do you not understand they are paid money? Mercenaries fight for whichever side pays more. So they arm them and they buy a certain amount. I even know what these amounts are. They pay them a certain amount. So they fight, they have the arms, they can't get them. Then they discover elsewhere that somewhere pays a little more, so they go fight there.
Yeah, I've heard this press conference here before. It's interesting, yeah.
So he goes on to say that ISIS is taking over the oil fields and that it's absurd to believe that the U.S. does not know who is buying the oil.
Yeah, they're selling oil.
Exactly. You know,
wow. You know,
tankers full of oil.
I don't know. I didn't see any super tanker here. This pipeline, I don't know where that pipeline goes.
And then he questions, why aren't there sanctions on who is buying the oil, and who on earth believes that the U.S. does not have a clue who it is?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's actually some things I wouldn't put past the U.S. because they seem to not know a lot.
Well, we spend a lot of money on intelligence and information gathering around the world. If they don't know a lot, then we're not getting our money's worth.
Well, you know what? Not getting our money's worth. I think there's a pattern there.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
Do we have a caller on the line?
We do. Hello.
Aloha, caller. Thank you for waiting. Thank you for standing by, and thanks for sharing your afternoon with us here on Kauai Community Radio.
Oh, thank you. I guess all I wanted to say is short and simple. I'm not an anarchist, but I'm more archaic. And I'd like to read a quote from someone that I've respected and listened to through my years. And it is, chaos is what we've lost touch with.
Mm.
This is why it is given a bad name. It is feared by the dominant archetype of our world, which clenches on its existence, which is defined in terms of control.
Who said that?
Terrence McKenna.
Oh, Terrence McKenna, yeah. From the Archaic Revival.
Yes.
Well, that's a very delightful read. Terrence McKenna, for folks who aren't familiar with him, is a ethnobotanist, a psychotropic
philosopher,
and it's done some amazing work. And so, and I think that the points that you're bringing up, caller, about chaos versus control, are really profound and would even make a good sitcom TV show.
Yeah. Well, in
If we were to get smart about
I think
it.
That's a lot of people refer to the U.S. as the empire of chaos because that is the result of all our actions around the world. Look at all the places that we've been involved militarily, and they're just chaos now.
Yeah, it's
right, but it's defined by ego.
Defined by ego. Chaos is defined by ego, or our actions are?
Our actions are.
So maybe you can help break it down for folks, because chaos, people typically, when they hear the word chaos, they think, oh, my God, everything's totally out of control. But chaos is the way the universe works.
Right.
Chaos is the way all of the molecules in the room bounce randomly around, but nobody suffocates.
You know? No.
Say a little bit about chaos from your perspective.
Well, from my perspective, I've never voted because I've never believed in anything that would change the world. Keep my opinions to myself in a way. But when I do connect with nature, then I'm in harmony with all of the universe. So if I leave the dominant archetype and connect with nature and the universe, then I become one with that, and it brings me peace and satisfaction.
Satisfaction. Well, that's great. Can I come hang out with you?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in. I don't think people pipe into the station enough and give big ups to chaos, because chaos is pretty fantastic. I mean, if it weren't for chaos, we probably wouldn't even be.
No. So, no, and right wing or left wing is, like, not even in my vocabulary.
Well, you need more than one wing to fly. So I feel informed by the left wing. I feel informed by the right wing. But sometimes I want to go swimming. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what inspired you to call just now? Because you sound like you're a person who's actually fairly comfortable letting things be.
You know, I don't know. I'm listening to the show and I'm hearing people's opinions, and I don't spout my opinion very often, but when I hear someone or something, sometimes I just feel the urge to let my voice be heard.
What was the name of that
documentary? Uh-oh, sorry, here we go, there we go, there we go.
What was the name of that documentary you mentioned a couple weeks back when you called in?
Caller, that's a question for you. Are you still there?
Yeah.
What was the name of that documentary? I believe it was you who called in and recommended a great documentary. What was the name of that?
Me?
Yeah, must not have been you.
No, it wasn't. But
you
I did. I know many documentaries. I didn't call in.
All right. Well, thank you, caller. I really appreciate that.
No worries.
All right. Aloha.
Aloha.
And we've got about 9 minutes left in the show. It's 5:51. I usually don't like tell the time, just because I figure it's always now everywhere. But right now it's time for our next caller. Nope. This caller. Nope. Next caller. It's you, Dano.
Oh, he must have hung up.
Well, I think one of the problems that United States government has with President Putin at this point is that they don't want to share control of the planet with anyone else.
I think that you're right about that.
That
I think the biggest
that
problem
that we are in charge, it's our world, and when somebody steps up and says, "Hey, we're going to do things our way," they don't like it.
I think I think the biggest problem I have with Putin is he's not on their script. He's got his own agenda.
That's your problem with him, or that that's their problem?
That's what the I think this is my personal opinion. I think that the U.S. is upset when somebody else is doing their own thing.
Well, the U.S. may be upset because Russia's bombing some of the CIA proxy fighters in the area.
Yes, but when they admit that those are our terrorists in there, they're admitting to violating international law.
And war crimes.
And supporting terrorists.
Yeah.
We have this war on terror going on all over the world, and yet it turns out that we are supporting a lot of them.
We're funding it.
And funding them, dropping weapons in there.
And I don't know if that's a left-wing opinion or a right-wing opinion, but to me that just seems like it's based on facts and evidence. So
Yeah, and so that's a very uncomfortable truth for the government to admit that, oh, by the way, those are our terrorists that you're bombing in there.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't make me feel good about our efforts in that region there.
No.
I mean, the whole Middle East is blowing up. Now, you mentioned the Palestinian situation. There's going to be another intifada. There's going to be a war going on there.
Well, there's been a war, but it's
escalating as we speak.
And I feel really bad for everybody there because most people want to just get along. Most people just want to have a nice life.
And most people in Israel do, too.
But
the government, sees this land out there and says, hey, that could be ours. If we just move these Palestinians out of here, that could be ours. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so, but the people that live there are saying, no, we don't want to move. We want to live right here and have our own government. And so, it's chaos in Iraq. It's chaos in Syria.
It's chaos in Lebanon. It's not chaos in Libya.
It's
not chaos. Chaos is a beautiful, gentle thing. What you have here is systematic, mechanized destruction. And that's not chaotic at all. It's very deliberate.
Okay. Well, I guess it's a matter of semantics there to some extent. But it is chaotic. There's no government. There's nobody providing useful services to the inhabitants of those areas, if there's any left. They're creating millions of refugees.
No, there's systematic infrastructure degradation. The thing that is so amazing to me is you have all these European NATO countries like France, and I don't know, probably not the German Air Force, but a number of NATO militaries are bombing the bejesus out of Syria, and then the people who live in Syria, they're just trying to get away from the crazy war. And so then it creates this mass exodus of refugees who need someplace safe to live and knock on the Europeans' door. They're like, hey, can you let us out of the war? And the Europeans are like, no. Where all these immigration come? What's this crisis?
We don't understand. Why are we responsible?
Why did everybody want to leave Libya? Because it was systematically pummeled into concrete dust.
Yeah. And so, it's run by a bunch of crazy people now.
That's not chaos. That's intentional.
Well, it is intentional. That is the intended result of our foreign policy.
Unfortunate. That's the reasonably expected result, and that is the intended result, and it's the result.
And it's what you're seeing. So nobody should be surprised.
Yeah, and I don't know
about this. Russia said that they can no longer tolerate the current state of affairs in the Middle East, and they are going to do something about it.
Well, it's grotesquely destabilizing to the entire region, and any country in the region does not have any interest in absurd, preposterous, monstrous instability. It's a mess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the fact that Russia is bombing Syria. I don't like the fact that the United States is bombing, or that anybody's bombing anybody for that matter. But
who would Jesus bomb?
But
WWJB.
But it's just a matter of how do you rectify the situation where we are right now? What is the result? What is the proper action to take right now?
Everybody should just chill out. Food, water.
Medicine. That is Russia's stated policy right now. They want to get rid of the terrorists and the weapons that are being used against the government and bring the parties to the peace table.
Bring the interested parties to the peace table. That sounds reasonable.
And that's what his policy is.
That sounds reasonable.
I think it sounds reasonable, but it's not what's presented in the U.S. media?
Well, and what is presented in the U.S. media is not the left or not the right, but they just leave all this stuff out. Well, the things that you and I are talking about right now, it's not left or right. It's the stuff that's left out.
Yeah, right.
It's the stuff that's left out of the corporate media because we don't have a quarterly profit objective that we're striving to enhance with our discussion
right.
on the radio.
And so, you know, Sirius says, you know, so they want to eliminate the U.S.'s policy is to get rid of Assad now. Now,
I think
who is it?
I think
who are we to tell them who their president should be or who should be in that charge? It's only the Syrian people that should make that decision. It is not for us to decide.
That sounds kind of reasonable, Dave.
Sorry that you had to hear it then.
Well, if anyone has anything else they'd like to add to that, we're gonna bring the show to a close. I want to try and bring things out on an up note. So is there any good news that anyone wants to share?
Good news.
Dove, you have any good news to share?
Hey, I've got a trip coming up.
We just want to thank Jeremiah.
There we go.
Jeremiah,
and,
yeah.
He called, he said, the reason he called is because Dave Giroux's back.
Wow, that's
and,
great.
And if you don't come back next week, he'll have to take his money back. I was like, it's too late. We already ran the car.
Oh, yeah, we ran the car, buddy.
But anyway, and
thanks,
that
Jeremiah.
Money, gone. Before he hung up, he just wanted to say that he loves you too, Jonathan.
Oh, well, I didn't say that I love
thanks,
him.
Thanks, Jeremiah.
Right,
but I do.
But the
I
reason
do
he
you.
Called was Dave Giroux.
That's hey, awesome. Hey, you got more calls.
I got some good news. I'm going to go on a trip here in a couple of weeks. I'm going to visit Havana, Cuba.
Hey, you can do that now.
Yeah, you can do that now.
Dave, could you bring me back some cigars?
Give me some money. I'll go get you some cigars.
All right, I'll do it.
Okay.
All right.
You don't smoke cigars, do you? You just want to have
I smoke Cuban cigars.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, because they're so good.
Yeah.
So I want to thank everybody for calling into the show today, and I want to thank you, Dave, for coming into the station. It's pretty awesome to get you back in here, and I'll have to get you back in. I'm going to be gone all November.
All November.
All November. So if you want to come in and help out some of the November shows, I'm going to be in I'm going to be in Chicago. I got to meet my fiance's family, my fiance's mother. And
have you set a date yet?
We have a pencil date of like the equinox next September, so like 11 months.
Oh, cool. Congratulations.
So I'm going to go meet her family, and then we're going to go to Seattle, and she's going to meet some of my family, and I'm really just stoked.
And if it's still on at that point, then, you know,
yeah.
It's a go.
I hope I can come back with good news. I do want to say that the only reason that I'm ever willing to leave the island is because then you get to come back home.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I know everybody doesn't agree with my opinions on some of these matters, but I hope it gives you something to think about and a different perspective when you're listening to the news. Aloha.
It did for me.
Aloha, everybody. Ahui ho. See you in December. Around, folks, because Dove is in the house and it's time to evolve.
You're listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea. This is your community radio station. It's about 3 minutes past 6 o'clock on a beautiful evening. This is Dove. I'm here. I made it. And wow, what an incredible 11 days of fun driving here at the community radio station, your community radio station. And if you call this up and pledge your support over the past 11 days, you are part of this radio station, whether you like it or not. So you are officially part of the Ohana here, and every donation counted. We got $5 donation. We had someone give $4.20, and they are part of the family here. That's a donation that counts just as much as the $420 donations. It's all important. It all are pieces to what holds the glue that holds this place together, is the volunteers, the listeners, the staff, the board, the community advisory board, all the pieces, all the people and pieces, all that hold this radio station together. It's a beautiful thing, and it takes a village to raise a radio station.